Now we're going to see. Now we are going to see the last segment of Eov's response. And as we saw, like Eov's earlier responses, he begins by speaking to his friend and ends by speaking to God. The difference here is that he inserted Perek Yud Gimel, in which he spoke to all of the friends together as a wrap-up for round one. And as we saw last time, in the end of Perek Yud Gimel, Eov already begins speaking to God, something that continues in Perek Yud Dalet, the transitional psukim from Gimel to Yud Dalet, psukim Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, and Yud Tet, where he starts speaking about the trial and as he would want it. In the end of Perek Yud Gimel, Eov mentions a few things about this conceivable trial. In Psukim Chaf and Chaf Aleph, he has the two requests that he has before the trial. Az mi panecha lo esater. Let's remember this. Then I won't hide from before God. Right? Kapcha me'alai, harchek, take your hand off me and take your intimidation off me. In Pasuk Chaf Bet, he relates specifically to how the trial would work, right? The protocol. You speak and I'll answer, I'll speak and you answer. And then he actually makes his point, his claim in Psukim Chav Gimel and on. What did I do so bad that you are so on top of me? Why does it matter so much? And as I mentioned last time, Pasuk Chav Chet, I believe, is a transition from Eov speaking about himself to Eov speaking about mankind in general in a similar way. And I'll already mention now that I believe Eov's last speech here, when he speaks to God, begins with himself and comes back to himself, but in between he speaks in a similar way about humanity as a whole, which again is Eov's, the importance and power of Eov, that he doesn't just get stuck within his own suffering. He's speaking about what this shows, how it's an example of mankind as a whole. So we're going to pick up in the beginning of Perek Yud Dalet now, where he begins describing the lowliness of man. He already really started in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chav Chet a little bit, but continues in Pasuk Aleph now. Adam Yelud Isha, mortal man born to a woman. Kitzar Yamim Usvar Rogez, short life, full of difficulty. Kitzitz Yatzava Imal, like a sapling that sprouts and withers. Vayivrach, and man's life runs katzel v'lo yamod, like a shadow that doesn't stay. Af al zeh, even on this, pakachta einecha, you look at, you pay attention to. Va'oti tavi b'mishpat imach, and you bring me in judgment with you. Mi yitain tahor mitamei lo echad. Im charutzim yamav mispar chadasha v'itach huka v'asita v'lo yavon. It says, halavai, that man could escape your clutches. By the way, you might have noticed that Pasuk Gimel Dalet is where he says, despite man's lowliness, right, you bring him in judgment before you. And here's where he comes back to himself. Note the shift in the end of Pasuk Gimel. Af al zeh pakachta einecha, v'oti tavi b'mishpat imach. This lowly man you pay such attention to unfittingly and bring me in judgment this way. Right? Can a human being whose life is so short and meaningless, can he have any hope in light of the way you judge him? That's okay. Im charutzim yamav mispar chadasha v'itach hukav asita v'lo yavor. She'em me'alav v'yachdal, lay off him. Ad yirtzeh kesachir yamo. They can finish out like a worker his day. Kiyesh le'etz tikvai. A tree has hope. Im yikaret v'od yachlif. If it gets cut off, it could regrow and regenerate. V'yonakto lo tichta. And where it's, where it's nursing from doesn't stop. Im yaskin baretz shasho. Even if it gets old, its roots are in the ground. V'afar yamud gizo. Right? And even if in the dirt its trunk dies, me'reach mayim yafriach v'atzak etzir kumonata. It can still grow with water. But a human being dies out of weakness. He passes away and he is no longer. The water passes from the sea. The rivers dry up. And a man lies down and doesn't get up. Nothing happens to wake the dead up from their sleep. man's life is fleeting. It's fleeting. He compares man here to a sprout that sprouts and passes. Let's go back for the beginning of the comparison. Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Bet. Ketzitz yatzava yimal v'yivrach katzel v'lo yamod. As opposed to a tree. A tree has strong roots. A tree has strong roots and it can regenerate even when things happen bad to it above ground, but a quick sprouting, that's what human beings' life is, quickly here, quickly gone, never to return. We find very similar in Tehillim, Perek Tzadi. Moshe writes there, Tefillah leMoshe Ish Elohim, Hashem Ma'on Hayita Lanu Bedor Vador. You are our constant home. B'terem Harim Yuladu V'techolel Eretz V'teif Elam V'yalam V'yadolam Atayel. You're from before the world even began its forming. Tashev enosh adaka v'tom eshuv v'nei adam. Return man to his lowliness, to himself, and tell him to do tshuva. Where does it come from? Ki elef shenim be'enecha ki yom etmol. 1,000 years are like yesterday for you, right? Your life is so broad, God's existence, that man passes like a sprouting. Pasuk okay. Zeramtam shena yiyu ba'boker kechatzir yachalov. Ba'boker yatzitz v'chalaf. It's like a plant that grows in the morning and dries up in the evening. That's man's life relative to God's existence. So it's, you know, the inability of man because of his quick, fleeting life to sort things out on his own. The difference, of course, between Eov and Moshe is what the significance of that is. So Moshe is saying, since man's life is so brief, relatively speaking, help us do tshuva. Show us the path. Tashev enosh, and again, that's the lowliness of man. Adaka v'tom eshuva b'nei adam. But Yov is saying something different. Yov is saying that since man's life is so fleeting and so insecure, and death is so final, not God should show man the path of tshuva, but God should pass. God shouldn't pick on man, should let it go. A term that Chazal called vitur. God should let man go. A person who says that God is a vatran, the Gemara in Brachot says, that God will pass on things. Mevatran lo al kol chayav, they'll pass on his life. If you look at the Mesilat Yesharim here in the second source, in the end of the fourth parak, he talks about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gives people time to do tshuva, and he'll, you know, see a person's regret of their actions as kapara for the passion they felt at the time of chet. And the Mesilat Yesharim explains that this chesed, right, it's lifnim mishurat hadin, but it has basis. It's chesed she'eno machish hadin legamre. It doesn't undermine the principle of din. Even giving man an extension time-wise isn't a vitur on the sin. It's just giving man a chance to get in his paper. Ach, the second part of the piece. Sheyutru averos below klum. That averot should be passed over without any response. Or shelo yeshgiach alehem. Or that God shouldn't pay attention to them. Zaya negat din lagamri. That would be totally against din. Ki kfar lo yamishpat v'din amiti badvarim al kein zayi efshar li matzei klal. We can't expect that God will give us a free pass. But that's really what Eov is saying. Yov is saying, man's life is so meaningless and so difficult. Why do you have to pick on him? Why do you have to pay attention? Okay. At the end of his words here, Yov gets back to himself. He was speaking about man's difficult life, up into and including Pasuk Yud Bet. And now in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he comes back to himself. Mi tein b'shol tatzpineni. I wish you would hide me away, put me down into hell. Tastireni atshuva pecha, hide me until your anger passes. Tashitli chok v'tiskareni. Then remember me. Im yamut gever hayichya kol yimei tzvayi ayachel abo chalifati. Again, a dead person come back to life. All of my difficult days, I'm yearning to pass. Tikra v'anochi ha'enecha, call out and I'll answer you. L'maaseh yadecha tichsof. I yearn to the creations of your hand, you should turn. Because now you count my steps. Instead, you shouldn't be watching over my sin. Right? You are locking away my sins in a carry pack. You're collecting them and collecting them and holding them together so that you can use them against me. But titpol al avoni, and you jump onto my sins. These psukim that we just read from Pasuk Yud Gimel through Yud Zayin should remind you of the psukim that Iov began this part of the speech with at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. For example, maybe the most clear Pasuk Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, where he begins, he says, I wish you would hide me away from the suffering in hell. Right? This is what he had said earlier, going back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Chaf. He said, Kapcha, Chaf. Azmi Panecha Lo Asater. In the end of Perek Yud Gimel. Pasuk Chaf. Ach Shtayim Al Tasim Adi Azmi Panecha Lo Asater. He said, if you'll stop intimidating me, then I won't feel a need to hide from you. And here he's using the same image of hiding. You know, once he can't get away from God, and God is going to intimidate him this way, he wishes God would hide him in hell. Pasuk Tedvav is where he comes back to Perek Yud Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Bet. There he spoke about the way the mishpat would work. Let's go back. Krav anochi aneh o adaber v'hashiveni. So here in pasuk tedvav, tikra v'anochi anecha l'maseh adecha tichsof. And the last few psukim here, right? Iov's claim, ted zayin, yud zayin, you're watching over, you're counting my every step, you're being medakdek on me. We saw this in the end of perek yud gimel, psukim chav gimel through chav zayin. You even see the direct parallel between what he says here, v'tishmor kol orchotai. We're looking at pasuk. Here we're looking now at Perek Yudal pasuk Ted Zayin, where he says ki atatze adai tispor lo tishmor al chatati, as parallel to what he said in the end of Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Chaf Zayin v'tasem b'sad raglai v'tishmor kol orchotai. You're watching over everything. You're nitpicking on me. The difference is that in the first part, Iov is focused on the lowliness of man. In the second part, he talks about why this brings him to desperation, to Yush. Meaning, since a human being is so incapable, Hashem has to pass on man. And if he won't, then man has no hope. We're looking specifically at Pesukim Gimel and Dalet in the beginning of Perek Yud Dalet. Mi yitein tohor mitamei lo echad af al zeh pakachta einecha ve'oti tavi b'mishpat imach. Then, im chavutzim yamav mispar chadashav itach hukav asita v'lo v'yavet. Man has no hope if God can't pass. Let's conclude by looking at the last few Pesukim here. There's really a conclusion of terrible despair and lack of hope, which is how Iov ends this round. He says, V'ulam har nofel yibol, a falling mountain withers away. V'tzur ye'etak mimkomo, and rocks are displaced from their place. Avanim shachaku mayim, stones are worn away by water. Tishtof sifichea fa'aretz, the plants are washed away from the ground. V'tikvat enosh he'evadata, and the hope of man you cause to be lost. Titkafeu lenetzach v'yaloch, you attack him eternally. Mishanefana v'tishalcheu, yichbedu bana v'lo yeda, you weigh on his children. You understand why Iov is describing this. V'yitzaru v'lo yavin lamo, and people suffer and don't understand why. Ach v'saro alav yichav, his flesh is on pain on him, v'nafsho alav te'evol, and his soul is in mourning over himself. Iov here in these psukim, specifically Yudchet and Yudtet, is using certain images of nature as a basis for his despair. Mountains that fall, rocks that are moved, rocks that are worn away by water. He's talking about the wear and tear of nature. There are such destructive forces in nature that we can see how mountains can be destroyed over time, how rocks are worn away by water. That, he says, is a model of man's loss of hope, the end of Pasuk Yutet, v'tikvat enosh he'avarata. And here's an excellent example of, again, the concept of perspective. Because the very famous story in Avot Rabbi Natan, the third source in the sheet, it asks, how did Rabbi Akiva take his first steps? He was 40 years old, he hadn't learned anything. Once he was standing by a well, and he said, whatever waters caused this stone to wear away, little by little, water wearing away stone. If water can, light water can wear away hard stone, then Torah can get into my head. And that's when it says he started learning. Meaning two people, here Yov and Rabbi Akiva, can look at the same natural phenomenon and reach opposite conclusions. One of despair and one of optimism. Now to be fair, okay, we can understand very easily why Yov reaches a conclusion of despair. He has a lot of reason to despair. Rabbi Akiva, of course, this is a telltale sign of who he was and who he would be, this person of optimism. We all know the concluding part of Masechet Makot, where he's walking with the other rabbis, and they're seeing the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Harabayat, and the other rabbis are crying, and he's laughing, because he's able to see the optimism in, you know, in this suffering, in this negative situation. And again, that might be a lesson for us about perspective and the need to maintain perspective. And clearly Eov is in a kind of situation, it's easy to understand his despair. But we need to try to be able to see in the negative processes of nature and whatever else, the base of optimism and hope. But for Eov, we can understand very well how the first round ends in despair. And next time, we're going to begin Perek Tedvav, which for those who don't know is round two. Eliphaz steps back up to the plate. And if anyone's ever been on a debating team, right? If I'm not mistaken, each speaker speaks more than once, twice, three times, and there are different rounds. And on the one hand, each time you speak, you're responding to those who have already spoken. But also, if there's a plan, it could be the team is presenting some other aspect of the case in the second round. And what we're going to want to try and understand is, on the one hand, how is what Eliphaz is saying similar to what he said before? It's the same speaker. But what is he saying different? What is he relating to that's different here? Okay, let's zoom in next time for more Eov.